I just enjoy it.
I feel that since this is my first time on the show, I've been saving up.
First and last.
And probably last ever. I think the tradition of a first-time guest is that if there's a shit story that they have anytime that they shit their pants, that now is the opportunity to tell it.
Well, now, we didn't even have to ask you. So
No, I come prepared. I know what's expected of me.
If we had more of the gang, I'm sure they would have brought it up. Yeah, I totally forgot. So cheers, sir.
I'm going to tell two stories.
Nice.
I'm going to tell one.
Two.
One, the time which I actually did shit my pants was, it's not as interesting as the time where, which was the near miss, right?
Right. I like the near miss.
The one time I actually did was I shit the bed, essentially, right?
Wow.
Those are some of my favorites.
I've never shit the bed.
No, I haven't either, but I love those stories.
So tell us.
It all boiled down to like a really bad stomach flu that I had for about 3 days, right? And like it knocked me the fuck out. And I was lying down. I was just out of commission, and I thought I was really kind of gassy, and I had so I farted, right? But then I'm like, felt kind of like a fart.
That's like, not unlike a fart.
But I think there was a little bit of an extra delivery in there. So I checked the sheets, and I'm like, oh, motherfucker.
Now, was it a lot or a little?
It was enough that I had to like strip the bed and like fucking wash the sheets, right?
Yeah.
Did you even have like underwear on, or was you just bare-ass?
No, I didn't, because I sleep bare-ass naked, right? But then for the duration of my sickness, I'm like, well, I basically got to wear like the equivalent of like adult diapers without wearing diapers, right? So I wore
just 1 second. Sorry, lady, he's taken. Anyway, carry on.
So then
you shitted yourself.
So then you know, I'm like, all right, well, I can't have a repeat performance because it's bad enough shitting one's bed the first time around, right? So I'm like, for the duration of my stomach flu for the next few days, I'm like, all right, well, let's double bag this motherfucker. So I wore the tidy whitey underwear followed by the swim trunks with the built-in underwear, so I had like triple protection, right? So there's no way that this bed was ever gonna get shit on again, even though I didn't think it had shit my pants.
Well, at that point, the fear alone.
But the bed itself was fine, so.
Well, that's lucky, that you caught it like right away, because otherwise it could have.
Yeah, I've definitely, as of late, had a couple of shart moments where I'm just like, fuck me.
So the second story is actually a little bit more interesting, if you can believe that, is because it's actually caught live, is we're recording an episode of our show. I think it may be.
I know the episode of it's a tip tap tip where Eric just suddenly
goes.
He just leaves.
Like so before the show we were eating taco salad taco salad. Right.
And so you're not blameless in this.
No, I completely take the blame for this particular instance, right? And there's sour cream, which Rochelle looked at the lid, and it had clearly expired by a week or so.
Well, it's sour cream. What's it gonna do?
It'll be fine. So I put some on my taco salad, and I eat it, right? It's like a half hour before showtime. So
now you're a bacteria bomb.
Yeah. So we're about 20 minutes into the show. My stomach is gurgling, right? And I'm like, all right, this is not good. I'm like, but maybe I'll top it out, right? Half an hour into the show, I stand up. I'm like, Rochelle, you know, I have to fucking go right now. I'm like, so I run to the bathroom. And I basically whip down my pants in time and I just like unload. And Rochelle's basically left like alone by herself. And they were broadcasting live at the time, right? And I'm like, just say stuff. I gotta take care of this. So we basically did it like live to like an audience of, I don't know, however many people were tuned in at the time.
Now the funny thing is, if it was Vinyl Countdown, he could have come back and said, I just shat myself. Right. But because it's Tip Tap Tip and they're
like pros,
they're trying to be professional. He doesn't explain what happened. I just had to go.
I just had to do things, and then
I may be being controlled by alien forces.
If you want to listen to the episode, I did title it "Shits and Giggles."
I think I'll have to look that up.
I'll send a link to you or something. Yeah, it's like it's never addressed in the show, but you'll notice a point about 20 minutes in it or so where I'm gone for like 2 or 3 minutes, and it's just like.
Movies, you're just like, why don't you just leave?
I know, but that's
like, why do you keep going back there when there's freaky shit happening?
Yeah,
like that movie about the trees that eat people. Why would you go into the forest when you know that the trees have done something? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that movie was. I think it was just on TV. What are you doing? Okay. Eric has just randomly ran off. yeah, Blair Witch is another one that everybody talked about and said it was going to scare the shit out of you. And then you go into the movie theater and I was so disappointed. It was not as scary as I thought it was going to be. If anything, I just felt dizzy. I mean, it was original in that, you know, they did the whole thing with the handheld camera and stuff, but that was about it. What? Okay, Eric is okay. He just had to run off. I don't know why. Maybe he's not feeling well.
Sorry, I got to interrupt. I'm back. And I appreciate those who stuck it out. But I think it was the sour cream.
And that is why you check the date on things before you eat them.
Yeah, no, that's when you'll be a true pro, though. That's when you're ready for the super big leagues. Is yes. When you can just shit right there.
Getting right back into it.
Actually, yeah, you don't bring it up. She doesn't bring it up. No one brings it up.
Yeah, just a word of caution. If it's expired by a week and it's sour cream, just fucking throw that shit out of there.
Now, speaking of double bagging, I'm going to bring up something so fucking embarrassing. It'll be awesome.
Me or you?
You.
Son of a bitch.
No, back when we were, you know, first having sex with ladies kind of thing.
Me and you when we're doing it together?
Yeah. No, but, you know, we're talking about it and we're talking about condoms and Eric's like, no, I double bag that shit. So, and I don't know if you were just kidding.
I may have, but, you have to keep in mind that,
you were super paranoid.
First of all,
doesn't it make them work worse? I heard it makes them split more easily.
Yeah. I don't know, but it may have had something to do with the fact that, my sister has a lot of kids and and she started having them early and I'm like, all right, well,
how many,
five? She has five kids, right? She's 2 years older than me. She started having them at 17, right? But
five kids, that's probably too many.
It's enough.
Or it's just right. I'm sorry.
How many are from different dads? Four? Three.
Three. Something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
Man, I like kids and I'd totally be fine with dating somebody who had kids, but why does every guy that rolls through the door need his own kid? What's up with that? I don't get that.
Well, I guess if you're into kids, you're like, well, this one's okay, but let's make one. Wow, this didn't work.
Yeah, maybe if they're shitty kids, my kid'll keep these kids in line. I don't know. It doesn't even make sense to me. Yeah, they should sell extra thick condoms though, thick cut, chips for condoms.
I remember this is a funny story. I'm not gonna name the person who I did essentially use my virginity to, but the condom that I used was an unlubricated joke condom, which came in the middle of a walnut that had a crack open.
Jesus Christ!
What? Oh my God! I've never heard this one.
Now where did you get? Where did it? It's blown out a little bit, but. Now, where did this originate from?
Somebody gave it to me as a joke, and I kept it around because I'm like, oh, this is funny. But then, the situation arose. I'm like, well, I need to use a condom, right? So I cracked the nut, broke this guy out, put it on it.
That must be bizarre, too. You're just like, all right, baby, let's get down. Where's my nutcracker? You'd just be like, God. What is happening? What is going on?
It's one of those things that you would get at this store called San Francisco, and I think somebody
so what's the equivalent now? Spencer Gifts, I guess, is
whatever.
Is
kind of we had a store called the It Store, that kind of stuff.
I can't remember how I broke it, maybe with a book or a hammer or something.
Let me in, I need this now.
Oh, God. You were like a retarded monkey back in those days.
Take it outside and get back over it with your dad's car or something. Oh, that must be frustrating. I mean, it's bad enough. It really is bad enough just trying to open the package and all that, not having to get it out of a walnut. What the fuck?
No, we used to, as soon as I kind of knew that there were free clinics out there, I would just go on condom runs to like free clinics because I, you know, I was also poor, so I was just like, well, not poor. It's just I was on an allowance, and I had better things to spend my fucking money on than condoms if they were giving it out for free.
Yeah, I hadn't figured that one out yet. I just kind of had to work with what I had. So,
man, me and Craig, we did volunteer catering help at this like little art center over by Church Street. So it's not necessarily a gay establishment, but it's right in that neighborhood. Condoms aplenty. Like the bathroom has these. Like packs, it's like two condoms, lube, and something else, all right there. And there's just, you know, like 100 of them. Just go ahead.
Actually, over closer to us, Mitzi's sister, that it's like a little bar or cafe, but they've got a little basket by the washroom that has like condoms, femidoms, and lube. It's just like, so every time we have breakfast there, we're just like, well, let's grab it.
I've always wondered about like the female condoms. Like, I've never had any experience with them, but like,
yeah, me either.
Like, I get the gist of how they work, but like, how would you? Sorry, I'm just sort of talking a lot. How would you keep the condom from just through, like, you know, through the force of your penis not getting stuffed inside? Like, you know.
Yeah, that's
I don't understand that.
Is an interesting.
I don't even know that I've really seen one. So it's not
adhesive which wraps around the edge.
So I don't even know how a vagina works. Honestly,
so it's not a dental dam. Like it does go in.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Things as near as I can tell.
I might have to Wikipedia this afterwards.
Yeah, I think they're like it's a net. It's just it might be similar to like a sponge or a I don't know. I've never used one, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
Even the sponge, I was looking that up. I watched the Spongeworthy episode of Seinfeld again.
Yeah.
It's basically, I don't know, I guess it works, but it's kind of nonsense. It does nothing against STDs, and it's just like such a bizarre...
It's just an anti-pregnancy thing.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it is. It's just a sponge that covers the opening of your uterus. Like, that's just not the best way. that's so weird. It's better than nothing, but...
I don't think hammering away at a sponge would be very fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, like, that's exactly why they took them off the market, hence the Seinfeld thing. But yeah, no, man, I'm actually trying to figure out, like, because I assume all of us, our first time was with condoms, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my first time, my famous story was that I had the normal condoms and I couldn't get it on. So my first time wasn't really my first time, but I still count it.
Right.
You know, I'm still naked with a lady.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm just curious because, like, I'm trying to think of my first time without. And I'm having a hard time. Oh, I think it must have been... Yeah, no, I had a girlfriend who... We went on the pill. Because it was a couple thing. I had to go to the doctor with her and everything. But yeah, I think that's when. But
I'm trying to remember mine as well, too. It was probably with that girlfriend that you didn't like. The one that you were afraid of.
Bobby the fucking bad clown?
Oh, man.
I wasn't afraid of her. She was just like a fucking psychotic bitch.
Yeah, she was bad news.
And we called her the bad clown because she had painted on eyebrows, but she did them in this like perfect
rockabilly like Betty Page haircut with like the painted on eyebrows and stuff like that.
Only but she did them in like it was like if you took half a circle, so she had the like she looked like the logo from fucking Conklin. You know, like, it was, I don't even know if anyone gets that reference. When you go to...
I nodded, but I don't.
Okay.
I honestly, I don't even know how we got together. I think it may have been just because, at the time, she was a huge radio fan, and maybe I had, like, a Tom York-ish type haircut at the time, which is, like, OK Computer era.
No, she was cute, honestly.
She's like, that guy's a creep.
Yeah,
but this cute also went hand-in-hand with crazy. She was, like, a dish thrower kind of crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, it was just bad news. But.
No, like, from my point of view, she was actually really cool when they first got together. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like her. She's really nice. And, you know, she was kind of hot or whatever. And then then suddenly nobody saw Eric anymore because Eric wasn't allowed to come out.
Well, I really feel like that is kind of the catch-22 of, like, cool chicks. Like, you know, the girl Ian in New York, I thought she was the coolest fucking thing in the world when I met her. Or I remember, Joel, you said one time one of your early girlfriends had a Chelsea cut.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so cool. But, of course... It means you're gonna be a handful later, you know? It's like, damn it, why can't people be cool and cool? Not cool and crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think for ladies, the pursuit, if you're pursuing cool, it's a deficiency somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think with guys, it's different. I don't know.
Yeah, just like if there's any guys out there, here's a word of advice. if the girl that you're dating does not like your friends at all, bros before hoes.
Yeah.
Like, it's true, though, because it is true.
Also, like, and inversely, if she just seems to not have friends, that's bad, too. Like,
oh, big time. That is a huge red flag.
It's not just a saying. It just means that, like, you know, it means that, you know, you may get... You know, you may gel as a couple, but you know, there's another aspect of your personality, which is the type of person you are when you're kind of buddying around. If that does not gel with your friends, then that's going to lead to problems down the road, and just be done with it.
So, I was thinking tonight might be just the time to go through notes that have been building up that are of dubious quality, but this one is actually good. So the other day when I first met Eric, and I don't know, we were just sitting here at this very bar.
Yeah.
And probably it came up because I had to pee. I can only assume. It's a little bit of a blur. But so yeah, so the idea is this would be a premium super bar where you don't have to get up to go to the bathroom. All the drinks come in like either glasses that are bigger than they need to be just to be on the safe side, or super wide neck beer bottles that may not even exist. They might need to make them like Gatorade size. But and then after you drink your drinks, you just piss into your receptacle.
What if they were served in a stainless steel bedpan?
Well, bedpans, though, I mean, that could tip easily. I mean, I don't know. Is that really the best way?
It's the best way to urinate.
How about instead the waitresses, they just clamp their mouth to your dick and you pee and they swallow it?
Also, I mean, that's a lot more direct.
And it's probably, I mean, I just assume the level of hotness with each of these iterations is going down of who would take this job.
Oh, for sure. No, you...
Probably gay dudes, weird gay dudes are the best we can get now.
Weird gay dudes and lunch ladies, that's what we're dealing with at this point.
But I like that idea.
It's funny that you should mention, I had this idea a while back. And when I come back from my last vacation, last November, from Cancun, is that Rochelle and I had stayed at this resort, right? It's like an all-inclusive type situation. And I had this, when I came back to Calgary, I was like still like in vacation mode for like another week or so after that, because I was just coming off like that all-inclusive high.
Right.
And I had this idea that somebody should work it out, that they open up like a poolside bar in like the middle of like central, like...
So essentially what you're saying is, like, you would come into a room like this one and descend some stairs into water.
Like, before, when you come into the door, and that doesn't lead directly to the bar. It leads to a change room, right? There you have your, either bring your stuff, and you change into, like, your swim trunks. And then somehow, I don't know how they would do this, I'm not, like, an engineer or an architect or anything, they would tile the whole bar, fill it up with a... chlorine water, have it circulated so when, you know, somebody pisses in it, it's always clean, right? But then you just kind of like go up to the bar, they'd have lights which simulate like the same sort of spectrum as light, like paint the sky blue, it's all well lit.
What about tanning lights so that like if you stayed there too long you would get a sunburn, just like
basically I want to recreate the vacation experience but like in like a colder climate.
That is such a crazy fucking idea that like in like Manhattan where you can get away with that type of shit, that might work. Like that is like
Yeah.
You know, you exit into the change room, you change out of your stuff and you get out.
Like you're encouraged to pee in a washroom, but you know.
And it's definitely, yeah, it's not like a just a casual let's drop in. It's like a destination type place, yeah. But I think that could I think
somebody should take that idea and run with it.
Yeah, if I had money to burn, that wouldn't be the last thing I would finance.
That would be something I would I would drop my lotto winnings on just to watch it fail. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but I even feel like just the word of mouth would spread like so crazy. Like that would at least temporarily be awesome.
I think it was you. Like Joel and I had this idea. We were talking. This is years ago. We were talking about if we both had like come into like a ridiculous amount of money, how we would open competing stores, kitty corner to each other.
Yeah.
Like that are selling like kind of identical things, and then we would just slander each other in sales lines.
And he would just say, basically, like there would be an employee who would just be like a fixture at the window with binoculars.
These businesses would not sustain themselves like at all, like, but because we'd be pouring money into them, who gave a shit, right?
Like, so, you know, it would just be like
an empty store, but then we would just use it to like just slander each other.
It would just be one-upmanship. In fact, I would call mine one-up. What are you gonna call yours? Nothing. That's right.
Not Joel's shitty one-up store. That's what I would call mine.
No, but I was thinking too with the beach bar. Like, I'm thinking of those, like the H2O park down by the lake.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
We've got a bunch of sort of man-made fake beaches here in Toronto that are cool. Like, they work out great. I love them. And I think, yeah, you could do that in the bar. You could have sand. And I think that is an awesome part, too, is having the UV type light. So it's not a bar lighting, I think, would really...
It's like, like you're on vacation.
Yeah, and I think that would really deter people just peeing in the water and taking shits and the sand or just being assholes.
And also would encourage, you could sell like suntan lotion. So you come in and there's...
Well, I don't know about this UV light thing. I think
this is what makes it work. There's like the threat of skin cancer in this, on this shit would be amazing.
Okay.
But there would be a dedicated part of the staff, because this happened in the resort that I was staying at. There's a part of the staff which is just exclusively to entertain people when they're at the pool,
that's,
right?
That's every resort.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, they would have them go in activities and just stupid games and shit like that. So I think that should be, like, an integral part of the staff. They should have, like, a dedicated team of guys who just, like, you know, will make you, like, you know, encourage you to play, like, beach volleyball and, like, so you can balance on a surfboard for the longest while they play the music. And
now, there is sort of the interesting dilemma of bouncers. If somebody gets too fucked up, do you chuck them out in their underwear or in their
bathing
suit?
You have to dress them before you throw them out.
But the thing is, like, when I was at the resort, nobody, like, people were drinking their face off. But, like, because the vibe was so good, the vibe was so nice, there was no angry drunks, because you're on vacation, man. Why are you so angry, man?
That's true. Actually,
so, like, I, you know,
I'm always the angriest drunk in the resort, always.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I've usually just decided I hate everybody. Mm-hmm. But that's me.
Yeah.
I'm a joy.
You know, one thing that I thought was such a cool thing to do at a... It was more of like a dance club than a bar, but it was this one place in Manhattan. It was so awesome. I've probably brought this up before. I wish every place would do this, but no one does. Where the speakers were only at, like, shoulder height, like maybe up to your clavicle and then down. So you could feel all this dance club thumpy music just like normal in your body.
You feel like the bass in your dick.
You're right. Yeah. But the amount that it helped be able to speak was insane. You could like pretty much still talk, but you still got the music. And I was like, this is the most genius thing, but it's just not what's done, so people don't do it.
Oh, that's weird.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't believe the difference it made. It was me and Ian went, and yeah, it's like, I can actually hear what you're saying. It's fucking crazy. It's revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too cool. So cool for school.
Yeah.
So, we don't need Joel here for this one. This is if Joel did happen to have another kid, since everyone in his family's the Jays. It's all about the Jays.
Yeah.
Craig said, while super drunk, that he should name his next kid Jewbag. They're not Jewish. I don't know why. And then Scarborough Dude was like, well, if it's a boy, you should call him Jew Boy. I liked those names. And mostly that note is just a chronicle of you guys were fucking drunk. That's really all that.
Shit show.
That's really all that's about. So here's one of my notes. You know, we never told this story on the show. The night we were hanging out with, we were at one of the Imperial Nights, and Opcom Steve was a mess.
Oh, God.
But not that. Wow. It was Joel got high with a random guy. Because this was pretty cool.
Okay, well... Opcom Steve is, I'm just going to rewind it a little. You can actually hear the show. He's the guy I asked him to leave and go sit down.
I think I remember that, because he was, like, totally fucking drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
he's a nice guy, but anyway, we're leaving, and he's too much of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm walking this way, and we're all walking with him, and he's just pissing everybody off. So I'm like, hey, let's turn here, and solely just to like avoid him, like, but so we go north, he goes west, and there's this dude going like, hey, I got weed, I'm smoking weed, it's for free, I just want somebody to smoke with. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, man, I just want to smoke weed with somebody. Like,
and we were a pretty good convoy. It was like six of us, but none of us were willing to stop. We're like, we just need to keep going to escape. Like, we're not stopping in case Steve is coming, because we don't know. We're just like, we're just going.
So these guys are like, okay, see you later, Joel. And so me and this dude like smoked weed, and I was already like three sheets to the wind, and I just like smoked some weed with this guy, and I was like high as fuck, and I got up back on my bike drunk and high now, not just drunk, and rode up and met up with these guys, and it was, yeah.
And but what it made me think of is, like, Western RPG is where there's just random events and random encounters.
I took a side mission.
Yeah, and, like, talk about the best random encounter ever. You're just walking through downtown Toronto, and that's the free weed guy who's totally cool and just...
Yeah.
Just no, wants to smoke weed with someone.
You know, like, we smoked weed, and, like, you know, we talked about, like, I talked about my kid, and he talked about his life, although I can't remember a word he said, but, and then it was done, and I'm like, well, I better go.
Actually, speaking of, this is a funny Joel story. Joel, I was living in Vancouver at the time, and Joel, you were visiting, and we're walking down Commercial Drive, and you know, sometimes we're walking towards the, I think it's like the 24-hour Super Value or whatever grocery store there, right? And think about Commercial Drive as people are selling drugs, you know, they'll sell you weed anywhere, right? So we're walking up to the Super Value, and guy goes, bud. And Joel goes, hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Like, no. I think I gave him a high five and everything.
I'm like, no, that's not what he wants.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, me and drinking is I don't like to stop the party, and I think everything's a good idea.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved here, me and Jeff Cook, we got trashed one night together. But Jeff is one of these weird guys where he can get so drunk and still be super functional.
Yeah.
And I lived with him at the time. He's like, I have to buy groceries.
I'm like, drunk grocery shopping is the best, especially the next morning.
And we were so loaded, though.
Yeah.
And because there's 24-hour grocery stores, we're like, okay. But what ended up happening is, because there's no staff on and it's all the robots, I ended up stealing 50% of my groceries. Because I just... Like, I turned on the drunk, so the attendant saw me weaving and was just like, he just doesn't get it. And meanwhile, I'm like, I just stole so much shit. And I walked out of there with, like, you know, I paid $30 for, like, you know, like, $80 worth of groceries. It was retarded.
I did that one time at that, actually the same sort of grocery store. I went out one night, and I'd come home on, I think, is the number 20 Vancouver. I call it the Rock and Roll Express because it's usually fucked up at the end of the night.
Okay.
And but it dropped me off near the top of Commercial, so I sort of stumbled down near the grocery store. And
by the way, we call ours the Vomit Comet here.
Sure.
But yeah.
But then I'm like, for some reason, because I was drunk, I got it into my mind because, let's do some grocery shopping, right? So, you know, I'm going down the aisle, I'm buying stuff, and then I barely remember what I buy. I wake up in the morning, I have, like, a whole bunch of random ingredients which don't add up to any particular recipe at all. Like, I think I had, like, polenta, raisins, but, like, nothing I could actually make into anything in particular, but just, like, kind of, like, a bunch of random, like, ingredients. I was just like, what the fuck?
Like, yeah, Homer cooking? Where
but I had spent, like, $80 on groceries at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I can actually remember, and so Eric has this buddy named Neil in Vancouver, and Neil is unstoppable. He doesn't take no, I think we just want to call it a night for an answer. He doesn't. And so we ended up taking the train in the middle of the fucking night to this burger bar in fucking, where was that? I want to say... Oh my!
I might not remember this. It might have been this.
What's the Surrey? Surrey.
Oh man!
Fuck,
murder capital of BC.
Yeah, we went way. Took like the train way the fuck out there. Like, what were we doing?
That's as far as it goes, man.
But this is the thing: is, you know, like, I'm a guest. I'm also drunk. I'm like, okay, this is a good idea. He's like, no, it's awesome. You're gonna love it. And we get there, and there's trannies everywhere, and we're like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, didn't I say there was going to be trannies here? Then, like, years later, because Eric never tells me this, but, like, I find out Neil's gay.
It's
like,
funny because, actually...
Oh, okay.
It's funny you should mention because, like, I lived in Vancouver for 5 years, and 4 years out of those, he was, like, my best friend. I had no idea that he was gay. Thought he was like a cool...
Not to be too attractive, right?
No, I thought he was like this cool, like, personal guy who, like, dressed well and, like, listened to good music, right? So, okay. But he, you know, we're...
And he had really good hair all the time.
Yeah, right? And so I was like, ah, he's a cool guy, right? And then, like, you know, like, I remember the day it kind of dawned on me, right? As I'm just sort of hanging in this place, we're watching like a Madonna concert at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Still didn't realize it.
No clues.
I look over, like, you know, see like this issue of Butt magazine, right? Which is like, it's like this gay zine, right? Like, it's printed in like pink paper for the cover. I'm like, and then like I'm like, you know, wheels start turning around. I'm like, huh?
Did you guys live on Davy?
He lived off Davy, yeah.
No, tell me, how did you out and ask him or?
No, we've never actually it's kind of like this understanding. It's like, oh yeah.
I was going to say, for anyone who hasn't been there, too, fucking Vancouver takes it serious. Like, on Davie Street, all the fire hydrants are pink. And bus stops.
We would tear the night up. We'd hang out at, like, all the gay bars. And, like, oh, he's just my friend, man. We'd just, like, drink and have fun. We'd go to places, like...
No.
Like, the...
This is why I know you have Asperger's, is the fact that you can't pick up on this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
no, like, we go to, like, the shitty, like, gay dance clubs. We then, like, we went to, like, this leather daddy bar called the Pump Jack.
And Eric's not putting anything
in. He's my buddy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that happens to me a lot. Like, I'm fairly oblivious, but yeah, this is starting to be a pretty long list.
it's getting ridiculous at this point. Like, and I met this dude, and like, yeah, he's butch for a gay guy, but like, went into this house. His house is all 60s antiques.
Yeah,
it's all like, he's got the Yellow Submarine McFarlane toy series. He's got like all this like
cool dude.
Like when John Waters was on The Simpsons, just like totally. That guy.
But like at the time, I was like a big 60s nerd, so I'm like, this guy has shit I'm jealous about. But it was too good. Like, it was just too pristine. It was just, his place was fucking clean. You know, in my entire life as a bachelor, I've never had a house that's been, like, clean. You know, this guy, like, yeah, I can't believe it took you so long to realize.
No, but seriously, I had no idea until, like, about a year before I left Vancouver, and I was like, huh. And then, like, you know, that was also like, my Corvette summer, right? I don't know if Joel, you've talked about your Corvette summer on the show before?
Ad nauseum, yeah.
All right. Yeah. But 2004 was my Corvette summer. It's basically the year which you hit your bottom, right? You're boozing, you're cruising, you're this. And he was a fucking excellent wingman, right? There's no better wingman than him. Like, you know, like, because he was very personal. He'd be like, hey, this is my buddy Eric. He's the fucking best. He thinks you're fucking beautiful. I'm like, yeah, I do. And then, like, be sending him on my way, and it was like awesome.
Now I gotta ask you this: in your Corvette summer, when you were like, I assume you were like,
I was out of control.
Like, were you hooking up with randoms and
it was just like, is the point where I was showing up to parties in the hope that like two people would not be there because it'd be like just be weirdness, and like I think the one point I had like sex with like two different girls on like the same day, and I remember it was literally out of control. Like, it was a fun time, but man, it was also like a dark fucking time. And I remember the point where I decided that I was gonna leave Vancouver, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just sitting in this room at this house party, and I'm just drunk out of my fucking out of my fucking tree, and I look around the room like, who the fuck are all these people? And I'm just like, I don't know anybody here. I'm like I don't know where I am. Like, I kind of know how I would get home, but I'm like, how the fuck did I end up here? And it was just like this clarity overcame me, and I'm just like, this is fucked up. I gotta pull my shit together, because
I gotta leave Vancouver.
And like, you know, and like, that was the thing I needed to do, because it would have just spiraled out of control. I'm like, I just need to get the fuck out of this city because it's killing me, man. And it was, I remember it was like in October, and I was like, yeah. And then I made a decision, and I'm like, all right, well, I just gotta do it, because if I don't, the city's gonna fucking kill me.
So I'm curious, because as well as I know you, you've never been a guy to fuck two girls on the same day, like, yeah, ever.
Yeah,
you know. So how did that happen? Like, tell me this.
I can't remember. Like, I think one, like, I'm not going to name names, but one was visiting from.
Who cares? Call them whatever.
Nah.
person A, person
Lee,
B.
Lee and Susan.
Sure, like person A was visiting from Calgary, right? And, you know, they had taken a shining to me for whatever reason. And I was also sort of playing.
And you didn't know them previous? Like, you didn't know them in Calgary? Kind
of. I knew of them in Calgary a little bit, right?
Okay.
And person B was this another person who lived in Vancouver, who thought I was cute, and we'd gone out on a few dates, but I treated her like shit because I'd never called back, and I just
bitches love it.
And it's just a mess. Like, I don't know. It's just I think your Corvette summer was pretty bad, but mine was like bad, just like a dark place. And just
mine was definitely in a dark place, for sure.
But the part about the Corvette summer is just coming out the other side, and you come out the better person. But you're just like,
well, that's what's so bizarre about those types of stories. Is I never really went through a real period like that. But it's always like on the surface, it's like awesome. You're inside a fucking 80s movie, but deep down, it's always like, oh, it's, man, that was shameful.
No, you kind of feel like a piece of shit. I think the good point of my thing was when I was kind of juggling three girls that I kind of liked.
Yeah.
And the one I liked the most was actually being the flightiest, which ended up being Jen, right?
Yeah.
So, but there was some dark shit that happened before I got to that point where... You know, I've told most of it on the show, but yeah. So, like, I guess my question is, like, how did you ever feel like a sort of sense of dread or embarrassment or just yucky? You know what I mean?
Like, I was having fun, but at the same time, I also didn't. It was sort of conflicted because I'd booze it up and I have a ton of fun, but then I would just hate myself for the remainder of the week until like next weekend came around, and Neil and I just would just rip the shit out of the fucking town like for the remainder of the weekend, right?
Yeah.
And it was just like, and it just kind of built up, and it just it all sort of culminated towards that one party where it was just like, and just like, the fuck?
I love the just like weird drunk decision making.
Yeah,
like,
and it was just like,
when I first got to Vancouver, that was one of my, like, you know, I was pretty apprehensive about moving there, but that was kind of my ace in the hole, was like, well, no matter what happens, even if I don't have any friends or whatever, drinking will just make you meet people and do weird stuff. And I didn't lean on it that much, but there would be, like, one day I tried to make lemonade without water, just with vodka. I thought that'd be drinkable. It was very hard to drink, but I just, you know, found a fountain somewhere and added water to it, and then and just would ride the bus and not know where I was. But I ended up at this house party with all these Irish kids that were all visiting Canada together. So they'd all rented this house, and they were just awesome people. And I was there because I knew one girl somehow enough to like go along. But then at some point in the night, she disappeared, and suddenly also I'm in this house, all these people I don't know. I step outside and I don't know where I am. I'm somewhere like kind of just, which way are the mountains? North?
North.
So in Vancouver?
East.
In Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, the north.
So then I was the way that city's laid out. Yeah, so I was just south somewhere in kind of the semi-burbs, and I just had no idea where I was or what was going on. So my thought process was like, well, I don't really want to go back in there because I don't really know anybody. And I don't even know where street, I don't know anything. I'm just going to lay down behind this bush. And I'll just sleep on in their front yard. And I laid there for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, I'm laying behind a bush. This is, what am I doing? But then I went back in the house and the girl was there again. And then we just got a cab and went the fuck home. But I don't know. Just,
man.
It kind of happened to me in New York when I was there this last time where Mike and...
what was like the deal breaker? What was like the catalyst who said, okay, I'm done? There must have been like a certain moment, right?
Just my inclination is just not to drink. So, I mean, eventually I went through like a 2-month hermit period where I just didn't know anybody, and I just stayed at home all the time, and I didn't have a job, and it was like the most lonely thing in the world, but I just didn't drink.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about New York? What was your moment in New York?
Oh, well, just real quick, this last time I was in New York just visiting at the hotel, so Mike and Picard went home or back to the hotel before me, and I stayed out drinking with Kyle. And then when I came back, I didn't want to get into the bed because I thought I'd wake up Picard because we were sharing a bed. So I laid down next to the bed, between the bed and the wall, where I couldn't even lay down. So I was on my side. And again, I was there for about 20 minutes, and I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. Why do I think that sleeping in stupid places makes sense? But yeah, now New York was just, it was easy to just get, because I was too far away from Manhattan. It was like a, you know, an hour on the stupid train just to get into Manhattan. So just eventually it just was easier to stay in Queens. But then that was the only time in my life I would wake up, and if we had vodka in the house, I'd start making screwdrivers. And it didn't even occur to me until like later when we ran out of vodka. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. What is going on? But it was all pretty low level. It was never that bad.
Well, speaking of Vancouver, and speaking of North Vancouver, because it's Grouse Point, right? Is that the
mountain or whatever?
The mountain.
Grouse Grind, whatever.
Yeah.
I hate that fucking
grind. Well, my my cousin used to be a ski lift operator there.
Yeah.
And my aunt lived there. Now, Eric can attest to this, and please don't tell Picard, but I have black family members.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But Eric when I was visiting in Vancouver, Eric actually came over. My aunt, after she got divorced, married a black dude, and of course, and his family are all black. And
which is funny, that's exactly what happened to me. My aunt also married a black dude.
Yeah, they thankfully are like me and drink a lot. And like, yeah, every time I've gone to Vancouver and stayed with my aunt, we've just had a wicked time. But yeah, one of my relatives was talking about, like, and this is what I mean about racism, why it's so crazy, is because, like, this dude is making jokes about how, he's like, do you know why black people have white hands?
Is that where they were, like, they put on the oven when God was cooking them or something?
No, it's because their hands were always up against the wall while they're being frisked.
It's
terrible.
Seems unlikely that their hands would be up that often.
But this is my, I guess, cousin's opening material to when he meets you.
Right.
So yeah, yeah. Terrible.
It's like this kid Christian that I met in Maryland, who was an awesome guy to hang out with. But man, the first like hour of knowing him, it's just like, ah, you guys are just saying that because I'm Spanish. It's like, no one's saying
that. I saw that. Yeah, I heard that. I'm like, no, nobody said anything, man.
Yeah, I don't even know. Honestly, I wouldn't even.
No, I was going to ask you that sort of a similar question to what I asked Eric is like. I know you haven't had a ton of random hookups, but your random hookups, do they leave you with a good feeling or a bad?
Not generally great, no, and it really has been almost none. I mean, it's just awkward at best, you know? Man, Patrice O'Neill has such an awesome line where he's in his 40s now, or was before he had a stroke. I hope he's all right. But he's like, man, the only reason I even have sex anymore is to have something to jerk off to later. It's like the actual mechanics of sex, especially when it's just some random person, it just never goes smooth. It's always awkward, and my mind is always wandering, and I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, I just can't get into it.
Yeah, no, I find, like, honestly, like, if I was to pick random versus relationship all the way, because that's when you can relax and just, like, enjoy yourself.
I feel like I could be a big fan of just, like, getting hand jobs in bathrooms or something. I don't need to take it all the way. It's too hard, too much work, too weird.
Hand jobs in bathrooms is, yeah, I know.
To even do it, I have to be drunk to the point where my dick's not going to work anyway. The whole thing is just, like, trouble.
Yeah, no, in the past, my first introduction is always a mess.
Oh, thank you.
And my second is usually a success, so... So I think most of my randoms have been at least a couple of times. I had one in particular where it was, both times we hooked up, it was sort of an accident. It was like, she decided to sleep over and sleep in my bed, and you know, I was just kind of like, oh, fuck this, let's just do it.
Right.
You know? And that was kind of like, in a way that was the worst, because, that's a weird thing, because like, you're never at this comfortable level of like being upfront and like we're fucking. It's just kind of like, well, that happened last night, you know? I don't know.
Man, I remember one time, that was one thing too, is like, man, I've been like going through a lot of old Patrice O'Neill stuff because I might do an XO about him, and he's flat out misogynist. There's no two ways about it. Yeah. He thinks men are better than women, but he still has a lot of like weird, funny points that are like insightful and stuff. One of them is about how women never take accountability for anything that happens. It doesn't matter how they behave or how they're dressed or anything. Never, ever, ever their fault. But sometimes, it's not even that. It's that they really are just oblivious. Like, this girl I dated in Vancouver, after we broke up, she had this one night where she's just, oh, I'm lonely, can I come over to your place? And she stayed over, and it was like the hardest thing in the world to just lay there and not do anything. Like, I just had like the biggest heart on. It was like just like pheromones and like everything about biology, just like, do it. And then I brought that up to her like years later, and she's like, really? I had no idea. And what? How did you have no idea? It's fucking crazy. Like, I don't know. I guess the point of that is just that we're different, man. Biologically, yeah. we're so different.
That's the weird thing. Like for me, I kind of applaud your sense of control, because I would make a move. I just.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, I kind of probably should have. Like, when you were talking about fucking Mario Party earlier, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time, too, where, again, we'd been broken up for a bit, and she was house-sitting, and she invited me over and was going to make me dinner and whatnot. And I remember they had a GameCube, and they had fucking Mario Party. And that night, again, it's like, I totally could have. Same time I helped her move out of an apartment. There's all these times where I'm like, this, this, and this. Those all should have been the push-pull. We're kind of done, but let's have a little more sex. But every time I didn't, just because I was just afraid of getting just sucked back into something that I wanted to be away from. Like, I didn't trust myself to just let it be the one more time. But I should have all those three times. But I'm too soft. It would have just turned back into a relationship.
Man.
But I kind of regret it. Because, like, the time I helped her move, she was not oblivious that time. Oh, man, she got herself all dolled up, and it was just a whole, like, and I'm just like...
And did you take the bait?
No, but...
Ah, you fucking... Yeah.
Because, like, then it just would have... Because I was far too weak to let it just be a one more thing. Then it would have just been like, well, I guess we're back together now.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. Chicks are complicated. I am glad I'm married, for sure. I mean, that in itself has its own challenges, but God, I would not want to be single.
Well, that's one thing where it's like, I can't, I mean, this is obviously just that I am too much of a pushover or whatever, but it occurred to me, I have all my best thoughts in the shower, that if I really was going to try to nail down, like, what it is about women that just always riles me up and rubs me the wrong way, it's that they feel like they're like bullies. They're like emotional bullies. Like, I just don't have problems in my life unless I'm dating someone. And then I can't go a week without a giant problem, you know? Yeah. But is it that they're bullies, or is it that I just don't know how to deal with anything? You know?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I mean, yeah, that's...
Like, I can't just blame them. I mean, I have deficiencies, you know? But still, yeah, no, it's like, if it would just be cool, right? Like...
Well, I think this is why we have a dude show, you know, like we're trying to solve these issues incrementally.
Coming soon, me and Picard are doing Ladies versus Gentlemen. We're getting to the bottom of this. Nice. Did I tell you that that's the name of the show?
Ladies versus Gentlemen?
Yeah, it's going to be me and Picard versus two women.
Every week.
It's going to be a very rare occurrence, like a shooting star, but it's going to be awesome.
Is it going to be like a set subject? Like, you know, let's just hash this out? Or?
Well, I think it's going to depend a lot on who our guests are, because like if we have Onizel and Casey, I like them, so it'll be like, let's just talk about whatever, and all.
But if it's two ladies that you don't like,
yeah, like that's when. Well, I mean, Picard is such a battle axe, and
oh man,
and I have a feeling in this venue I'll be willing to follow along. So yeah. I don't know, it could be trouble.
Can we announce the name of our other spinoff?
Yeah, why not? So. So I believe we decided on I've Always Said That.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just tell this story real quick, I guess, because we don't really know much about it yet anyway, and it could just be nothing, but we got an email from a guy who said he's, like, working on some kind of Canadian, you know, podcast network, and at first, my first thought was, like, you remember Web Rings? You know, like, just like, nonsense.
Yeah, come on. Just, who gives a fuck? Another Buffy site. All right.
Yeah. Like, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, anyway, but then this guy said, apparently this thing is a little bit of a real deal enough that some possibly hooked up with some Canadian TV network and, you know, it's slightly legit and they're looking for content.
Yeah.
And they're like, we like your vinyl countdown, but not enough. That's too nonsensical and weird and random. Like, but what if you guys did a show that's just like you, Mike, and Joel, and it's more like a normal podcast with news stories and whatnot? We're like, yeah, man, let's give it a shot. Why not? What do we got to lose?
And the thing is like, I do feel bad for the other members, but I mean,
well, whatever. I think the timing's good because I mean, we're Vinyl Countdown has always been a weird mutating thing, but you know, the wheels are coming off a little bit. I mean, for us to record every second week means it's a spark is not as sparky. You know, we don't have those blue sparks no more.
Yeah.
That's a GameCube Mario Kart reference.
So, you know, whatever. We gave it 100 and blah, blah, blah episodes, and, you know, I don't think it's dead by any means.
Well, I always felt like, too, like, Vinyl Countdown is a conduit to other things. Like, originally, it was a reason to hang out, and then we started doing video stuff, and then if it spins off to different shows, like, I think it's meant to mutate.
Yeah. But, it's...
But yeah, I've always said that. I like that name.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
I've always said that name's amazing. So.
Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. And even I like the idea that Vinyl Countdown could just be every second week or whatever, because, like, it is such a weird, random factory of shit. Like what we just did tonight. This is a very unusual episode, yeah. But that's what's cool about it. It's like, this is the testing ground for all kinds of random crap.
And I'll see you assholes later.
Well, like, oh, that's one thing this guy who pitched us this idea, he's like, you know, McNally Mike, that'd be awesome, with Joel as, you know, the straight man or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but we did some, like, we've tried so many iterations of this show, me and Mike did, like, 3 whole episodes, just me and him, and weren't that fucking good.
But every time it was the 3 of us, it's been great.
Wisdom shows, or...
Yeah, like, that, or we did one, just when I lived up in his apartment, we did, like, Weed Wise Man and the Stiff Drink Shrink, all that shit. But yeah, it just didn't work. And then Joel's in there and it does work. So I didn't. I just want to tell this guy an email, like, didn't you hear those? Sucked. Like, we already tried that.
Been down that road.
You can only joke about how much it sucks so many times. It still sucks.
But I think his point was that, like, he wants me to be the straight man, which is exactly what I am. Like, right. It is sort of what I do on the show. I mean, like, I know I'm funny in moments, but I'm mostly grounded. And I'm good with that role, so yeah.
Yeah, the very last note that I had...
Oh, sorry.
That I don't know when I wrote this thing. It must have been ages ago, and I can only assume I was drunk. And then let me bring this out just so I can delete it, and we'll never speak of it again. Is, we should change our name to The Laughter Club.
What the fuck?
Laughter Club? Why?
That's the dumbest fucking name I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's why I never brought up that note. So I deleted that note.
So what was your thinking on this?
I don't know, because I don't remember writing that. Like, that could have been from a very long time ago.
We should change our name to The Laughter
Club. It's like, choo-choo, next stop is funny.
Jesus Christ, the only...
Some of these notes are so old that, like, I have no memory of them at all.
What else you got?
Come on.
Let's kill them all.
This is where I need to put more detail into my notes. Killing a condemned criminal versus an innocent. I mean, that doesn't even...
Condemned? Let's go with that one.
Yeah, I think that's all I was getting at, is like, if you could... Like, you know, obviously we wouldn't kill an innocent person, but would you kill someone who was going to die anyway, just to say so? But I have a feeling I did one of these. This is one of those Picard questions where if anyone's going to say yes, it'd be him.
Okay. Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I would kill everybody.
And then, like, yeah, these are terrible.
That is a really old note if you can't even remember what that relates to. Because, like, would you kill a condemned person versus an innocent? Well, they're innocent, so no.
Or Craig bought some gum for us to try that he ate before he brought it. It was called Splashing Fruit, and I thought the name was funny enough to write down, but it's not.
Silly.
I want to be more fancy, so I'm only going to jerk it to black and white pictures and jizz only on doilies.
Okay, now that... Actually, that I can get behind.
Something we can...
Yeah, that'll be... Let me just sec. I'm going to transfer that to my shitty comics file because I'm going to make a shitty comic out of that one.
That's like steampunk masturbation.
Yeah.
Actually, if you can only jerk off to Stereopticons... And then jizz on doilies.
Here, that's an idea.
What you do is you take off your hat, top hat, you bow, my dear, into the top hat.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so let me do that before we go. Let me check that folder, my shitty comics potential things, because these are, like, mostly ideas that were just too elaborate to bother drawing, so maybe some of those are funny. I want to be more manly, so I broke my toilet with a sledgehammer so I can learn how to fix it, and now I shit in a bucket.
Actually, I'll mention this. I've talked about this on my show, but for those who don't listen, I'll explain the situation where I... Well, actually, I'll just start at the beginning of the story. I had a job interview, which kind of came out of the blue, right? Like, I filled up my LinkedIn profile, and this company had actually contacted me unsolicited, right? I checked them out, and they seemed pretty legit, so I decided to go to this job interview. It was about 8:30 in the morning, right? No, the interview was at 9 a.m. I'd gone up, showed up a little bit early in the general area, and there was this, you know, I had some time to kill. It's about 25 minutes before the interview. So I'm like, all right, I'm here in the general area. I'll grab some breakfast, right? So there's this Subway nearby. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go in here because it's the nearest place, right? And so I had one of their shitty sort of breakfast sandwiches, like the microwaved eggs, etc. And I'm like, all right, well, I have an interview going up. I better go in there dry, right? So I went to the bathroom, right? So I'm sitting on the toilet doing my thing. I'm like, all right, well, okay, I'm done. So I stand up, the whole toilet, before I even flushed, tips over, right? It's
Jesus Christ.
It's not even, it's about 5 minutes before wherever I need to be, right? I hadn't even flushed, so like water is spilling, like everywhere, feces, the whole bit.
What?
So it's like the toilet, like it's like the thing was not even bolted to the floor, right?
Well,
like
I didn't.
Yeah. I'm like the strongest man in the world.
I'm like, so like it just kind of fell over to the side. I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do
They're
I?
They're like, first, you use that toilet?
Yeah, so like, first thing I do, I'm like, okay, there's my laptop bag. Let's get that to dry land. So I move it up, like I just sort of prop it up on the top of the sink.
Have you even had a chance to wipe your ass yet?
No.
Oh, God.
Okay. Wow.
No.
It's like some Indiana Jones shit now. You got to, like, deal with...
There's, like, you know, like, water spilling all over the floor, right? And I'm just like, oh, fuck, what do I do?
And there's
what?
Shit everywhere,
there's
right?
There's shit everywhere, right?
Okay.
And, like my... So I'm like, all right, what do I do? First thing I do is, like, prop the toilet back up to, like, an upright position, right? Like, you know, it doesn't matter because there's, like, still water and shit everywhere. And so I managed to, like, you know, I'm like... I wipe my ass. I just throw it in the toilet, you know, which cannot be flushed clearly at this point. And I clean myself up a bit. I go to the front, right? And luckily, like it was early enough in the morning and at a location where it wasn't sort of frequented enough that the only people in the place were me and the sandwich artist, right? So I'm like, your bathroom is fucked. No, he asked me, like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, but your fucking toilet is fucked up. He's like, does it need to be looked at? I'm like, yes, it does.
By an actual plumber.
And like, you know, under any other situation, I may have offered to mop, right? Being a nice guy. But I had to be somewhere, like, fast. I'm like, I didn't even say sorry. I'm just like, it's fucking keep on walking.
I will never come back to this Subway again.
And I never have. I just kept, I walked out the door, and, like, I feel sorry for this guy, but, like, because he had to clean up my shit.
I wonder if you're, like, a legendary character. It's like...
Goes in, and the toilet is broken.
Oh, look. Here comes the earthquake shitter. You know, like...
It was, like, there's no scarier moment than that.
Like, do you think that could have been like a prank someone else set up, like an upper tanker maybe, where they unbolt the toilet?
It must have been because like I stood up like I'm standing up right now,
right?
And the thing just kind of went to this, like, you know, fell over to the right hand side.
Which Subway was this?
The one on 16th Avenue and Center Street in Calgary. Has there ever been like a scary, like, I broke the fucking toilet, what do I do moment?
That's
for any of you?
No, I've never even heard like a crazier one than that ever. Like, and, you know, that's kind of, especially early on, that's all we dealt in was, I guess it's because you always hear about shit, but not the toilet
like
just
shit
breaking.
On the floor. Like, that's, it was, like...
That's, I wish we could find that guy who was working at that Subway. Like, let's hear your side of this story.
Are like, I'm losing something.
I would just leave. I would just, like, I'd give my manager a courtesy call, but be like, I'll lock the doors, but I'm going home. Fuck this. Yeah.
I definitely have, like, anxiety nightmares about shit like that, and I'm positive.
But, I mean, you'd have to shut down, right? Like, you wouldn't even be allowed to keep a restaurant open with toilet that's on the fell over.
Like, with shit and piss all over the floor.
So, real quick, before we go, because I do have to go home, but this reminds me of the water dripping. The place Spooky had in Brooklyn, that was a really cool place. I liked it a lot, but he was on one of his trips to Australia before he eventually moved there. So he's gone for like a whole month. And it turns out the dude that owned the building had a shitty, no good party kid who just had like a free apartment, like, you know, above Spooky somewhere. And the dude somehow had a party where the fucking sink got busted off the wall. And then no one did anything about it for like 3 days. And
holy
it just
shit.
Seeped down. And yeah, Spooky came back to like all of his things ruined. Just everything.
That
computers broken.
Sucks.
Artwork. Just brutal.
Oh, man.
And apparently the guy that owned the building was like the nicest old dude ever. Spooky loved him. But he just had this shitty kid that shitted things up. Bitch cake, grab a mop. Yeah. Ah, see what I did there?
Okay. Oh. Nice.
Thank you. You can find Eric's show, Tip Tap Tip, at tiptaptip.com. And Joel's show at... Oh, no, the recorder's out of battery.
Now, boys, girls, I'd like to address the vinyl countdown for just 1 minute, if I can, okay? Like, if I can't, while I'm drunk, if I can't address one sleazy bunch of guys on a pretty disgusting podcast, then who can I talk to? So I'm talking to the vinyl countdown boys. I see you. I saw you. As a baseball team. Was it baseball? What was it? Keith had a key role. Like, what sport would it have been? You know, it was so clear to me a while ago. And, like, of course, Joel was either in net or something. My God, the vision was so perfect before, and now, nary a sign of how it was I saw the boys who make up Final Countdown. What do you guys think out there? Sports team, you know, franchise? What else you got, you know? Fuck. I had Picard had a good role. What the fuck was that sport? I can't get it.
It wasn't a sports team, asshole. He was a band, right? Keith, the lead singer. Joel, banging away on drums. Lead guitarist, Picard 102. Those other guys, you know, they can be kicked out of the band at any time. They're interchangeable. You know what I mean, eh? The Final Countdown boys as a band.
One opening, especially, and of course Joel's going to get the spot, but there's three stars. There's three important people. You got Picard, you got Keith, of course, McNally, and you've got Joel. Damn, what was it? It's not football. It's not hockey. Man, I don't know. I'm stunned. I really, because it was just so clear before, and that's why there are times in your life when you say, just write it down. But other voices can beat and say, no, this is not the time to write down. This is the time to groove.
Final Countdown, www.dot.ca.